Today, we are going to read Philippians 3, 13 through 15, and we are in God First Life, part 3, and we're talking about addition by subtraction. So here we go. Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. Paul's talking to the church at Philippi. He says, look, I haven't arrived yet. He says, but one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Now, we're talking again today about releasing some things or turning other things down so that we can grab onto something or turn or experience the thing that's already there. So the idea, right, of God is speaking, sometimes we try to pursue him in prayer and so we can experience God's voice being turned up. But sometimes we just need to turn other voices down, addition by subtraction. And an analogy for this, another one is if you've ever been to a circus, and I know that circuses maybe are kind of going by the wayside a little bit, but there was something about the flying trapeze where you would, if you remember, there's these like swings, these really tall swings up in the air, and there's usually two platforms, and then there's two swings or three swings, and you swing from one swing to another, and then you go back to the other platform. And sometimes there's multiple people and they jump and they flip and they'll swing on one and then they will, are you ready? They'll let go in order to grab onto another one. And the thing is that if you left one platform and you held on to that swing and you went down and you never let go of the swing, you would literally just lose your momentum and eventually you'd just be hanging. And then, as you can imagine, eventually you'd get tired and you'd have to let go. What needs to happen is that as you leave one platform, you swing down, and there's a point in that process where you have to literally open your hand and release the bar in order to carry forward and latch on to the next bar that carries you to the next platform. And the very simple analogy is that we have to identify what needs to be released, and in that case, it's a bar, and then in order that we can open our hand and grab onto the next thing that's in front of us, and to take that parallel into our life, as I'm sure you can already imagine, there are things in our life that we've gripped onto that we're swinging down on, and there are times when we need to let go in order to grab onto the other thing that's right in front of us. We need to go addition by subtraction, and sometimes we think about, I got to grab the next bar, I got to grab the next bar. Sometimes what we need to do is let go of the bar we're already hanging onto in order that our hands are free to grab on to the next thing. And so, again, as Paul said, forgetting what's behind, I strain forward to what's ahead. And he says in verse 15, for all of us then who are mature, we should take such a view of these things. And so I want to give you today, in the time we have left, seven things that we need to subtract out of our life or bars that we need to let go of. And for some of us, many of these may not be an area where we need to let go of something or subtract something, but I believe that of these seven, there's at least one that's going to be for you today, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart, and it's going to be a place where you say, God, I need to do some business with you here, and this is something that I need to let go of. This is something I need to turn down. This is a pop-up ad that I need to click off in order, God, that I might be able to hear you first, and if I'm going to have a God-first life, and God, you're going to be first in my life, this is an area I'm going to have to subtract. So, number one, as you take notes, number one is to subtract unforgiveness. Subtract unforgiveness. Can I tell you, 2020 was a year for offense, was it? Wasn't it? I mean, 2020 was a year where if you didn't take an offense, then you're either super spiritually mature or, I don't know, maybe like you need like to be woken up or, you know, something. Because it was like there was opportunity for offense absolutely everywhere. There was absolutely incredible opportunity to have unforgiveness. And I think for many of us, as we move into 2021, we want to hear God more clearly. We want to see God more clearly. We want to add into our life spiritual maturity and depth, but instead of grabbing onto something, we can't because our hand is gripped tight on a bar called unforgiveness. And as we look back on the last year, for some of us listening today, maybe it's looking back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. I don't know what it is for you, but there's that thing that we've gripped onto and we've not let go. And God is swinging that other bar, trying to get us to the next platform, but we cannot grab it because we've not subtracted that bar out of our hand. And, you know, I've heard it said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die, the person that offended you. I've kind of added in my own little analogy analogy here, it's like setting yourself on fire and hoping that the other person dies of smoke inhalation. That's about what it's like holding on to unforgiveness. It's like, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness, so I'm going to set myself on fire, and maybe in some way that will hurt them. They'll inhale the smoke. It's like unforgiveness always hurts us the most. Hebrews 12:15 in the NIV says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." And the idea here is that we've got to take seriously this idea of not forgiving other people, because bitterness and unforgiveness is a root. And if you pull it up quickly, it comes up more quickly. But if it gets down and works its roots down into the soil of our life, it becomes something that's very, very challenging to subtract. And so what is the best time to pull up something with roots? Well, today. The short answer is today. You say, well, it's been there a long time. Great. It's better to pull it up today than it will be a year from now, because the roots will be less rooted today than they will be a year from now. So however long it's been there, whether it's been a day, a week, a month, a year, or a decade, or 2 decades, or 5 decades, the best day to pull up something with roots is today, because tomorrow it will be harder. And A.R. Bernard says this: if you can't forgive, you are not free. If you can't forgive, you're not free. And so the idea, you guys, is this: as God's people, we have been forgiven of much, and we can forgive, because when we forgive, it means that we're free. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, because it's what I always think is, well, yeah, but forgiveness isn't fair. Well, here's the thing. You're right. Forgiveness isn't fair, but it's better than the alternative. Because the alternative is I'm not free. So forgiveness isn't fair, but it's better than the alternative. And the alternative is playing a game where we are rule keepers, and we're like the bookkeepers of life, and we're tacking everything together, and we're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, and we make sure all the numbers square out, and is everything fair, and was everything right? And can I tell you, that is not a game that we want to play with other humans, and it's definitely not a game that we want to play with God, because we know that if we play that game with God, we will miss the grace of Jesus Christ. And the grace of Jesus Christ is what we all so desperately need in order to experience real life with God. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says this. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." That's pretty comprehensive. It's like, look, if you're offended, there you got located. Verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." And so what we see here is that forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision that is best made today. And if we do not make a forgiveness decision and we don't make it today, then we are not free. And if we are not free, we will always be clenched onto this bar, and we will not be able to move forward into our destiny with God. You guys, this is so huge. So in 2021, my prayer for us is that we get better, not bitter, okay? And we pray for forgiveness. Now, let me just say this. I understand that some of us have experienced incredible wrongs. For many of us, there has been sin that has been done against us that is the story. Your story might just overwhelm me. I don't claim to know your story. I do claim to know my story. I have heard many stories, and I know this: whatever your story, Jesus understands your story. And Jesus experienced wrongs that were equivalent they are the greatest wrongs that any human being can ever experience. Jesus understands them, and Jesus walked through them and went to the cross to actually pay for and forgive the sin of those who were actually putting him on the cross. When he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And so we see that through the pattern of Jesus and through ready the power of Jesus, we have the opportunity to forgive anyone of anything. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's better than the alternative. I'm not saying they deserve it. I'm saying it's better than the alternative. And so here's what I want to do, and we're going to pray this at the end as well, but I want to show you what a forgiveness prayer looks like. And here's the problem with the ability to forgive is in the Christian world, we often say, well, you just need to forgive that person. And here's the thing, it's accurate, but it's not complete. Okay. Yes, we do need to forgive that person, but how do we forgive that person? And I bet if you're anything like me, you've forgiven that person for that thing a million times. And guess what? It just keeps coming back again, and I don't know what to do with it. And I'm still mad, and I'm still frustrated. So here's the deal. I want to just add one little wrinkle into this, and I want to give you a forgiveness prayer that has been absolutely transformational in my life, and I believe it can be in yours as well. Okay. So here's what we want to do. We want to forgive someone of what they did. That's typically what we we understand as forgiveness. I'm going to forgive them for what they did. Oh God, I pray and I forgive that person for what they did. Okay, cool. Well, you acknowledge the actual action that took place in a logical, cerebral way. That's an important step, but it's not the complete step, okay? The next part, ready, is that we want to forgive that person for how it made me feel. Now you go, come on, Pastor Scott, that's so wishy-washy. That sounds like, whatever. Can I tell you something? My pastor challenged me with this years ago, and I actually said, I've always been taught that no one can make me feel anything, that I choose how I feel. But what's interesting is that when someone wrongs me, I do feel something. I do. And now I can deny that, or I can cover it, or I can medicate it, but I do feel something. And here's what I need. I need to forgive them for what they actually did. That's the cerebral part. But I actually need to forgive them for how I felt about it, because that's the emotional part that has a root down into my soul that I usually cannot get over. And if you have tried to forgive someone in the past and you've returned to it over and over and over again, this may be an area for you to click into that might be really helpful. So I want to forgive them for what they did. Then I want to forgive them for how it made me feel. And as I do that, and as I actually explore those emotions and feelings and forgive them for making me feel that way, then I can move into the next part, which is to ask God for his forgiveness over me, and I will forgive them. And that goes back to Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, where we forgive others as Christ forgave us. Ready? Here's the little piece of the prayer. God, this is just some example language. God, just as you've loved me and you have loved me and forgiven me in ways that I don't deserve, I now choose, and I would add, as an act of my will, to forgive them for what they did and how they made me feel. So I would go, what they did, how they made me feel, and then I would make this declaration in my prayer time. God, just as you have loved me and chosen to forgive me when I don't deserve it, God, I choose now to forgive them for the things that they've done. And then lastly, and this is huge, you guys, again, if you keep going back to unforgiveness, might be an area where you need to focus, is then you need to receive from God the replacement for what the enemy tried to steal from you or did steal from you. So this is the moment now in the forgiveness process where I forgive you for what you've done. I forgive you for the way it made me feel. I've walked through a declaration of my forgiveness as the way I've been forgiven. And then lastly, God, now I choose, God, to receive from you all the things that the enemy stole from me in that process. And then you begin to just declare that over yourself. God, I thank you that when that person did X, Y, Z, and I felt like I was alone in the world and that there was no one that cared for me, God, I thank you that you're with me, God. I'm never alone. God, you redefined the term alone. And God, I receive from you right now, God, that I am loved. God, that you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, that you will never leave me or forsake me. God, that my satisfaction is found in you. Do you see that? Do you see how that starts? Do you see how that starts to work? And can I tell you, prayer actually for forgiveness in a weird way kind of becomes fun. It's like, God, this place of brokenness in my life, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to get free. And then God, I'm going to spend some time receiving from you all the enemy has taken from me. That's how we do forgiveness. And for some of us in 2021, we had a year last year where we took on some serious unforgiveness. Can I tell you, do not let that noise hang there. Turn that radio down. Click that ad off so that you can get back to focusing on God in your life. You're going to need to let go of that bar of unforgiveness. All right, going to move more quickly on some of the rest of these. Number two, we need to subtract comparison. Can I tell you, for some of us, we are locked up with all sorts of noise, and we would do addition by subtraction by literally just getting rid of comparison. Stephen Furtick says this. He says, the reasons we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. And can I tell you that social media is a highlight reel, isn't it? I mean, you share what you want to share when you want to share it. You take the picture and you edit it with the filter and you cut out the dog that's, peeing on the carpet underneath the family photo or whatever it might be. That's just a funny example that I've seen, but you cut out whatever you don't want to be seen. And then what we do is we look at the behind the scenes life of us because we know, and then we compare it with everybody else's highlight reel. And this is really damaging because social media is just part of the picture. You might say, Pastor Scott, social media, is this a real problem? Well, the Bible seems to think that it's a real problem. This comparison thing that we have in James 3, 14 through 16, it says this, James 3, 14 to 16, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. He's saying, look, You better deal with this bitter envy stuff in your heart. If you have envy towards someone else, if you have a comparison problem, you have selfish ambition, you got to check that in your heart. Really, verse 15, you better turn that radio station down. You better click off that ad. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's some straight fire right there. Verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. So the Bible apparently thinks that this is a big deal. James 4:1, he continues to go on in this same thread, and he says this: what causes fights and quarrels among you? Why are you in fights? Why do you get into conflicts with each other? And we might say, well, because that person's a jerk, or because they said X, Y, Z, or because, well, my boss is just unbearable. My spouse is just, blah, 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 blah. My kids are just da, 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 da. That coworker, that other student, my professor, whatever it might be. And we start to point fingers. James actually cures that right now. He says this. He says, where do fights and quarrels come from among you? What causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires and battle within you? He's saying, aren't they kind of coming out of this envy, selfish ambition thing? You're comparing, you don't have what you want. Isn't that where these fights and arguments come from? James 4:2, you desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. 4:2, the second part, but you do not have because you do not ask God. And so here's the idea: is we compare, we envy, we have selfish ambition, we strive, we conflict, we fight, we go after each other. And James says, here's the answer: you have not brought God into the equation. You are holding on to a comparison. You're holding on to an envy. You're holding on to a selfish ambition. That's your bar. You need to let that bar go in order that as God floats his bar in front, you can latch on to that. It's addition by subtraction. And for some of us, we need to let go of comparison. We need to let go of some desires that are unhealthy. We need to let go of some selfish ambition, because comparison kills contentment. Comparison kills contentment, and we've got to let go of that bar in 2021 if we're going to have a God-first kind of life. Number three is we need to subtract anxiety. I know for some of us, it's a time for anxiousness, isn't it? It is a time where we've been experiencing it. But in Matthew 6 through 9, chapter 6 through 9, Jesus, God in the flesh, actually commands us three times, and he says, do not worry. And they're given as commands. Now, this is what's so fascinating to me. If God commands us to not worry, that means that it's possible. Because God doesn't command us to do something that he doesn't also give us the power or the ability to do. So if God commands us to not worry, then it means that not worrying is actually possible. Philippians 4:6-7 says this. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this is not just positive thinking. So it's about what we do with our worry. It's about what we do with our anxiety. And can I challenge you with a thought this morning? You are a person who has anxiety. You are a person who worries. You say, well, I'm not really an anxious kind of person. I know, but you have times where you're anxious. And so I'll say it like this, and we'll have this on your screen. The question is not if you're a worrier, but what you do when you have anxiety. That's the question. Not if you ever worry, but what you do when you have anxiety. Some of us are so good at covering and medicating or vicing away our anxiety, we don't even really acknowledge that it's there anymore. We wouldn't know what to do with it if we had it anyway, if we could acknowledge it. So we can't acknowledge it, so we don't deal with it. And I think that in 2021, some of us need to let go of this bar of anxiety, and we need to just say, hey, God, I need to bring you into this equation, and God, I need you to show me how to live out Philippians 4:6-7. God, Jesus, you commanded three times in Matthew that I would not worry, so I know it's possible. And so, God, I'm going to lean in with you. And so here's the idea: is worry is just faith in reverse. Worry is us envisioning a non-preferred future and the bad up the road. Worry is us freaking out as if we did not have a God. And in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about this. He says, don't live your lives as ones who don't have a God. Understand that God, your Father, is with you, and he's providing everything that you need. Robert Mount says it like this. He says, worry is practical atheism. Worry is practical atheism. You want to live as someone without God? Just go ahead and have a bunch of anxiety and worry, because that's how those without God, atheists, live. So worry is practical atheism. That's a challenge to me. I hope it's a challenge to you, and I believe that it is. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And when we remember who our God is, we remember that we can cast that anxiety on him. Number four is we need to subtract identity. The fourth thing we need to let go of or subtract out of our life, the volume we need to turn down, the pop-up ad we need to close, is identity. And now this might sound funny because you're like, Pastor Scott, I thought identity was a good thing. Well, God-given identity is a good thing. But we find all sorts of ways to prop up and to patch up our identity with all sorts of other things other than what God says about us. And so whether it's our emotions or our culture or our politics or it's our social or our economic or our racial group, whatever it might be, we go, that's my identity. Can I tell you something? That's not your identity. Your identity is the identity God has for you. The identity God gives us is that we are sons and daughters of a king and that we're all part of the human race and that all humans are created with dignity and equal value because we are crafted and created in the image of God. That is our identity. And then beyond that, we begin to lean into that. And you know, I'll tell you this, if we do not allow God to define our identity, there is a line of people waiting to tell us who we are. And whether that is fill in the blank, whatever you want to fill in that blank with, but there is a line of people and things waiting to define who we are. We need to shut that down, turn that down, turn it off, turn down that noise, click off the pop ad, and we need to focus on what God says we are. Galatians 6:4 in the Message says this, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. I'll read it one more time. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. I'll say it like this. I'll paraphrase it like this. Stay in your lane. Run your race. Comparison kills contentment. A God-identified identity is the foundation of our life. And for some of us, we need to let go of some bars, some other things that have been identifying us, and we need to let that go and say, God, I'm going to let that go so my hand's free to grab onto what you say about me and to run my race, God, that you've called me to run. God, you define my identity in this season of my life. Number five is we need to, and I'm getting more aggressive with these, we need to subtract my life. You say, well, you just said you need to subtract identity. Well, in the same kind of way, we need to subtract our life. You know, the Bible talks often about how we don't need to be people who get a little better. We need to be people who die to ourselves and live the life of God. We need to be people that actually are laying things down that identify our life, and we need to be picking up the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Let's just hang there for a second. I've been crucified with Jesus Christ on the cross. My old life was crucified with him. I no longer live. You say, well, that's just like an analogy, right? Like it's a paraphrase. Well, kind of and kind of not, because actually the Bible says that when I receive Jesus, there's something born again in me, that my heart is a new creation. These are all terms from the scripture. And of course, when we're talking about spiritual things, there's some level of us not comprehending it entirely. We have to use analogy and word picture and things of that nature. But what's happening here in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, that's the one I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I die daily. I lay my life down daily. In Hebrews, it says that we are a living sacrifice, that we daily give our lives to God and we sacrifice, we lay our life down. For some of us, we need to just subtract our life a little bit. Let me put it like this. For some of us, we are so in love with our comforts. And can I tell you something? I like comforts. I bet you do too. But can I tell you something? God, the bar today that God may kind of touch on our heart and say, you need to let that go. For some of us, it might be my life. It might be my comfort. It might be my thing that I like to hold on to. Can I just challenge you with this thought? Do you know dead people don't hold grudges? Dead people don't hold unforgiveness. Dead people don't get offended when you insult their mom. I thought that might like really bring it home for you. Maybe you don't have a lot of people that insult your mom. But whatever it is, you know, dead people don't get offended because they're dead. And Christians have actually been crucified with Christ, and no longer are we living, but Christ is living through us. And the way Christ responds in situations are the way we're called to respond in situations. But that's a hard bar to grab onto when your hand is clenched around the comforts and the possessions of my own life. And so for some of us, as we move into 2021, we just need to let go of that. We need to subtract our life a little bit and grab onto God's life. And can I tell you the really cool part about that is that my life is a temporal, physical life. I've got a temporal body. I've got a temporal life. And when I let go of that temporal bar, my hand is free to grab onto the bar that Jesus is swinging toward me, which is his resurrection eternal life. And I can grab onto that. And the Bible says that as a seed goes into the ground and dies, it actually becomes something different and it raises up to a new kind of life. And the Bible says that my life goes into the ground and dies as a seed and then raises up to a different kind of thing, a different kind of life. And for some of us, we need to let go of the bar of our own temporal comfort, and we need to grab on to the resurrected life of Jesus Christ and live in him. Resurrection people know their future looks different no matter their present circumstance. And I think for many of us in 2020 and 2021, our present circumstance has been so loud. But can I tell you that resurrected people, they know no matter the present circumstance, that their future looks different because they serve a God with resurrection, eternal life, and power. And that is my God, and that's your God, and that's the bar we can grab onto today. So some of us, we need to let go a little bit of our life. Number six, for some of us, we need to subtract relationships. And for some of us, we just, you know, as we talk addition by subtraction and turning other things down and hitting the little pop-up ads down, for some of us, it's a relationship. Now, I want to be careful here because don't over-apply what I'm saying. You're like, well, my mom's out, you know, like I'm not, be careful, okay? We love imperfect people. We love relationship with people. God loves people. God loves being in relationship with imperfect people. So I'm not saying just start hacking off relationships in your life. What I am saying is that for some of us today, as we talk through seven bars that need to be let go of or seven subtractions that need to happen in our life, for some of us watching this today, you have a relationship in your life and you know it's not a relationship that helps you move closer to God. And it's like another volume that's just up that needs to be turned down. And you know, for some of us, that volume needs to be turned down. For some of us, maybe that volume needs to be turned off. And maybe that's because we're not strong enough to be able to handle that volume being turned down. But whatever it is, we say all the time at Element, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And there was a time in my life when I had to make some really intentional decisions about the people I was hanging out with. And I will tell you that it has changed the course and trajectory of my life. And I think for some of us today, that may be true as well. And I want to challenge you with this too. Maybe you need to turn down some relationships. You say, well, Pastor Scott, I don't know what to do because then I wouldn't have any relationships, or maybe I would have less relationships. And that freaks me out. Well, I'll tell you what, we have something called e-groups. And in the next couple weeks, you'll see our e-group season is going to be starting. And we have groups of people that are getting together to gather around God's word, to pray together, to care for one another, to be in community together. And I want to tell you, it's an opportunity to create deeper relationships with people that are following God. So you can go to our website, theelement.church, and you can go to connect and e-groups, and you can look at all of the e-groups that are going to be offered over the next couple weeks. I want to challenge you with that. And we truly are better together. So James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And for some of us, we need healing in 2021, and you're not going to find that outside of the context of deep, authentic relationships with God's people. For some of us, that's what we need to do. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So let me ask you the question, who's in your life? Who's in your life? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And for some of us, we have a relationship we need to turn down, or we need to turn off. Lastly, number seven, subtraction, letting go of the bar. For some of us listening today, we need to subtract the fear of moving forward. And just as I was preparing and praying, I just sensed this over us as a church is that, you know, for so many of us, we kind of limped through 2020. It was a tough year. It was a hard year. For some of us, it was a good year. For some of us, we actually grew so much in 2020. Whatever it is, I feel like we stand on the cusp of 2021. We're looking ahead. And can I tell you, no matter where you're at in that that process of it was a hard year, it was a good year, whatever. We're all looking forward to 2021. And can I tell you something? Here's what I do know. The future looks different than the past did. You know, a lot of us are like, we're going to go get back to normal. We're not going back to normal. There's no normal to go back to. So much has changed. So much is different. And for some of us, that freaks us right out. Can I tell you something? Some of us need to subtract the fear of moving forward, because our God is a God who moves into the future with us. And our God is a God who's good. And our God is a God who cares. And for some of us, we just need to get past our past. For some of us, we need to get past the last year. For some of us, we're running on the fumes of 2020, and we just need a moment to make a decision and say, God, I'm going to move forward. God, I'm going to get going. God, I'm going to let go of the bar of 2020, and I'm going to grab onto the bar of 2021, because God, you're good, and God, you have plans, and God, you're on the move, and God, whether I see it or not, God, you are working, and you're active, and God, would you stir my faith and expectation again for a good future, because God, I trust you and believe in you. And some of us need to grab on to a hope bar moving into 2021. I was reminded, you know, I watched one of the playoff games, the NFL playoff games yesterday. I'm a huge football fan. And I was just reminded of ACL injuries, their knee injuries, or any other serious injury, really. But knee injuries are what came to my mind. And you know, when you tear an ACL in your knee, the pain of rehab, they say, is often worse than the pain of tearing your knee. But it's a different kind of pain, because it's a kind of pain that's restorative. When you tear an ACL, it's actually a kind of pain that's hurting you more. When you are rehabbing an injury, it's a kind of pain that's actually making you stronger. And I think for 2020, for many of us, we experience an incredible amount of pain. But I believe that in God's kingdom, it could be a restorative kind of pain. If we'll use it right and we'll grab on to 2021 in the right way, I believe that 2020 can be used as a restorative kind of growth. And some of us just have been unwilling to enter into that pain. We've been unwilling to really assess what's really truly happened in our hearts in 2020. We've been hanging and gripped on tight to things that we don't need to be gripped onto. We've got unforgiveness. We've got fear. We've got anxiety. We've got wrong relationships. We've got things that we just need to straight let go of this year. And so I want to challenge us, Element Church, that we need the courage to face the recovery process. And we need the courage to face getting stronger this year. And Craig Groeschel says it like this. He says, sometimes the difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the pain that you're unwilling to endure. And then he says, in fact, I will argue all day long that your potential in every area of your life is equal to the pain you're willing to endure. And so I want to challenge us, Element Church, this year, whether it's Equip, you need to just continue to discover some purpose, or whether it's e-groups, or whether it's getting involved in serving for a first time. Maybe for some of us, it's taking that step of faith to give for a first time. Maybe for some of us, it's cultivating intentional relationships. Maybe for some of us, it's intentional growth when it's hard. Maybe for some of us, it's just letting go of one of the bars that we've talked about today, so that God can come more center as a God first kind of life. And as we swing down on that bar off of a platform, and we get to that moment where you've either got to let go and grab onto the next thing, or you're going to hang on and then you're going to stall out momentum. Can I tell you, I think it's our moment, Element Church, to let go of these seven things and to grab onto the bar that God has swung our way. And I will tell you this, Jesus is one who will continue to send the swing over and over and over again. And all we need to do is grab that bar when it comes and let go of the bar that we've got our hands stuck around. So I want to ask you this question as we close. In 2021, I will subtract, fill in the blank. And for you this morning, whatever of the seven has spoken to your heart, Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to come and to speak to each and every one of us, whatever that bar is that you've been gripped tight onto. I want to ask you today, as I ask the question, in 2021, I will subtract, I will turn down, I will click off that pop-up ad, I will silence that or shut that down in order that I can live a God-first kind of life, addition by subtraction. Whatever it is for you in 2021, I will subtract. I want you to think about that right now, and then I want to pray over you and pray over us. So let me pray. Father, I pray that as we come before you in a fresh way, Holy Spirit, I believe you're speaking to every single heart right now, God. You're speaking, God, what you want to do. God, you are our great God. You are the God that sits above all things, the God that's the creator of all. God, you are our creator. God, you are our savior. God, you are the one that came to actually pay for our sin and to restore us back into relationship with you. God, you're our healer, God. God, you are our provider, God. You're the one, God, who whatever the bar is that we're gripped onto, you're the God of forgiveness. You're the God of peace. You're the God who speaks to anxiety and quiet storms, even in the middle of storms. God, you're the God that comes and opens doors for new relationships when we feel hopeless about relationships. You're the God who comes and floats a fresh bar again when we feel stalled out on the bar we're hanging on to. So God, I just pray right now, God, whatever that blank is for each and every one of us, I pray your spirit and your power to come in, God, and to give us the way forward. God, I pray the way forward for each and every one of us right now. God, would you give us the courage to let go of the thing that we're gripping onto that's not of you, in order that we could place our hands firmly onto the thing that you're sending us that is from you. And I pray that over each and every one of us right now. God, I pray courage for counseling or therapy for those of us that need to go that direction. There's no shame in that, God. It's actually beautiful. God, I pray just a coming clean and a being honest with you. For those of us who've not done that, the courage to do that. God, I pray for a coming clean and a being honest with a spouse or a friend. God, I pray for forgiveness to rush in like a mighty wave. God, I pray for just a power to come in behind those of us that were just impacted by the first point today, that we've been holding on to unforgiveness for quite some time, and we've not been able to let that bar go. I pray for a fresh power, a fresh wind, Holy Spirit, to come in and give courage to let that bar go. And right now, I pray over any of us dealing with unforgiveness. I pray that prayer that we talked about earlier. God, right now, God, I pray that we would have power to forgive the person for what they did. And then God, I pray that we would have the power, God, to process through. God, I forgive them for what they did and how it made me feel. And we'd be able to process through that. And then God, the same way, Jesus, that you love me and you forgive me when I do not deserve it, right now, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive that person, even though they do not deserve it. And I bless them, God. And I ask you to do a new work in their life. And God, right now, on the tail end of that confession, God, I receive from you, Jesus, Holy Spirit, everything that the enemy stole from me. And I want to pray that over us. Just if you're in this moment with me right now and you're just experiencing that, I want to pray just a restoration. God, I pray for new hope, God. I pray hope would come fresh like a tidal wave in 2021. For those of us who've been holding on to unforgiveness, God, for those of us who've been holding on to hopelessness, we let it go right now. And God, we receive from you fresh hope. God, stir our expectation for what you're doing in the earth right now. You're a God who's working behind the scenes. And I pray, God, a fresh God revelation that you are on the throne and you are active and you are working. And God, I thank you for that. I pray for a fresh fire and power to come into us this year. God, that we would believe that you are on the throne and moving powerfully, God. God, I pray for a power and a strength to trust you again. God, for those of us who have been defeated through something, God, that we'd lay that down again and we'd grab on again to the fact that you are a powerful God and that you're an active God and that you're a moving God. God, I pray that we'd see fresh future hope and vision. God, that you'd put a preferred future out in front of us again. And God, I thank you, God, that you are moving in our lives. So we let go of that unforgiveness. We let go of all of that, God, right now in Jesus' name. And we receive from you, Jesus, all that you have for us. God, I pray for those of us, God, that are blaming others or dealing with anger, I pray, God, that we would release that bar and we would receive from you trust, God. We would trust you again. We would release control again. God, this perception that we're somehow in control, God, that was obliterated last year. And instead of struggling with that and wrestling with that and medicating that and vicing that, God, I pray that we'd release that and that we would grab on, not to control again, not to try to grab control again, but to grab onto your spirit, God, that we would trust you, and we replace trust with control. God, for those of us that want to commit to fresh spiritual disciplines, God, I pray for a power and a strength, God, to be disciplined this year. For those of us that are fasting and praying, God, even now, many of us are fasting. I pray just for strength to continue the fast, God. For those of us that need to crucify something in our life, we need to crucify something, a comfort, something that we've been gripped tightly onto. We lay it down on the altar right now. We sacrifice it before you, God. We say, I am crucified with Christ. Christ. I no longer live, but the life of you, God, is living within me. And we lay it down. We open our hands as an act of our will. And we ask you to come in and be Lord and Savior. We lay our lives down in Jesus' name. God, I pray for the power to crucify something that needs to die. And God, we just surrender our lives afresh to you. Wherever you are, if you feel comfortable, if you just want to open your hands, I just want to pray this over us as a church family. God, we surrender our lives to you in a fresh way today. God, come and have every piece in every part of us. God, if there's anything in us that doesn't look like you, feel like you, smell like you, taste like you, God, show us what it is, and we surrender it to you, and we ask you to come and to have every piece in every part. God, we surrender to you as our Lord and Savior. God, come have every piece of us in 2021. God, we love you, God. Our whole entire lives are for you. And God, we surrender ourselves to you today. And God, I pray right now for anybody that's listening that's never started a relationship with you. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Just say, God, have every piece and part of my life. God, I don't want to do this anymore. I believe that Jesus was your son, God. I believe he died on the cross to pay for my sin. And I receive that right now. I sacrifice my life to you, God, and I ask you to come and to birth something fresh and new on the inside of me, not because I've earned my way to you, but because Jesus came for me. And I surrender myself to that gift of grace today in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer with us for a first time today, would you just text the keyword element to 97,000? You'll get a little form. Click the link on your phone. You'll get a form. And it says on there, there's a box that says, I started a relationship or recommitted my life to Jesus today. Would you click that and let us know? We've got some stuff. We want to send you emails that will get you started out on the right foot. We'll get you a Bible if you need one. And I just believe that there's some people out there today that heard this, that prayed that prayer with me. Would you please let us know? We want to help you. And we also want to encourage you to get involved in a good Bible-believing church. We really like Element, and so we want to invite you to be part of our family. And for all of the Element family and all those who are listening today, guys, I'm just praying a blessing over you today, and I'm believing that God is going to move in powerful ways in our lives and in our church and in our community in 2021. And as we take this from today, this teaching, let's take this into a time of worship with our team. They're going to lead us in worship, and they're going to lead us to the throne of God, and we're going to worship Jesus today. Let's go do that, guys. Let's worship together.